morning, Greystone.
Good morning.
It's my pleasure to welcome you to worship today. If you're visiting with us, we're delighted that you are here. There are visitor records that are on the aisles, and those will be passed down during the service. We ask that every person sign that, but especially those of you that are visiting with us today. No doubt the table and eating is central to the Christian faith. The whole importance around this table was inherited from the Hebrew tradition, and it continued, obviously, all the way through the New Testament period, where we see the importance of sitting at a table and eating. Even Jesus' appearances after the resurrection happened around a meal, around the bread. And so this morning, we have the opportunity with this cup and with this bread to once again participate in one of the grand meals that is offered in the Christian tradition. I just returned from New York City. Ann and I drove there this past week to visit our three most exceptional grandchildren, bright, capable, energetic grandchildren. One of the trends, one of the hot restaurant trends in New York City is something called comfort food, and for that matter, it's a hot trend in Richmond as well, probably here also. It's about fried chicken and about meatloaf and mashed potatoes and gravy and fried okra and all those kinds of things. And you'd almost think in Brooklyn that this is something new that's been discovered. But I've always wanted those folks to have the opportunity to sit at a table that my grandmother spread in East Texas, or my mother spread at our home, or my aunt Margie and her incredible dill pickles and sweet pickles that she was brilliant at constructing. Those people's faces, those persons I just mentioned, are saints in my world. They are people who inspired me, people that I still look to for inspiration even though they have passed, and people that I'm incredibly grateful for this morning. I don't know who those people are for you, but as we proceed with worship, my prayer would be that you continue to think about those who have inspired you and who have given you the gift of sustenance and the blessing of being a person loved by God. Welcome this morning to worship.
Thank you. the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Let's sing this out.
Dare we sing out of the same hymnal?
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of praise. We bring the sacrifice. We bring the sacrifice of praise to the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise to the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you.
Well, good morning, everybody. Today's a special day. We have a lot going on. We had our youth singing some. Is anybody friends with any of the youth? Yeah, maybe they're your brothers and sisters, too. We also have our choir in the back, like normal. They're always singing lots of things. Does anybody have any friends in the choir? Yeah, no? Some of you do. They're friendly people. We're going to read a story in a minute from the book of Joshua, but it talks about the Israelites and when they crossed over the Jordan River. And one of the things that I think is really neat about the story is how it mentions that the whole nation, the whole group of Israelites crossed over together. And so some of them, they were with their parents and grandparents and their cousins and their aunts and uncles, but a lot of them, they were just with a lot of people they might consider to be friends and maybe people that they felt like were one community, like one big family. And we're also going to remember saints today in a few minutes, and we're going to have communion together. I think in a lot of ways, even we as church are still just like the Israelites. We do a lot of things as one big family, as one big community. One of my favorite things about church, I'll share with you, and a lot of times people would ask me, well, why do you like to do what you do with a church and not other organizations? And what I like to tell people is that one of the things I love about church is that it's so intergenerational. You get to be friends with people of all different ages. So some of you get to be friends with the youth, some of the adults that sing, maybe some of the adults who serve you dinner on Wednesday nights and teach you in Sunday school, other places. And everyone gets to benefit from that we get to have so many friendships with people of all different ages because we're one community of faith. So let's have a prayer together, and then we'll head back. Let's bow our heads. Gracious God, we are thankful for our friends of so many different ages, and we are grateful for your unending love for all of us as you have called us to be one community of faith. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen.
Our Old Testament lesson from the book of Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, so that they may know that I will be with you as I was with Moses. You are the one who shall command the priests to bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. So then Joshua said to the Israelites, draw near and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, by this you shall know that among you is the living God, who without fail will drive out from before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is going to pass before you into the Jordan. So now select 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. When the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan flowing from above shall be cut off, and they shall stand in a single heap. When the people set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were in front of the people. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. So when those who bore the ark had come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, the waters flowing from above stood still, rising up in a single heap far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, while those flowing toward the Sea of Arabah, the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off. Then the people crossed over opposite Jericho. While all Israel were crossing over on dry ground, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God of steadfast love, truly you are the Lord of all creation. Even the rivers ebb and flow at your holy command. We come before you today in praise and thanksgiving as we remember the saints of this particular community of faith. Beloved members of our congregation who now make their home at your glorious throne, we gather at the edge of a river that we cannot yet cross, praying for the day when the separation between your new heaven and our earth will be no more. But until that day, we remember and give thanks. We call these people saints, but we know they weren't perfect. They weren't especially holy, but they were our people. Gifts from your gracious love. They were men and women who shared with us the stories of faith, who by their example of a life showed us what a living faith means in the everyday. We remember this morning, and as we remember, we are reminded that we are not here by our own efforts, but rather that we are here in this place called Greystone, called into this community of faith through the gifts and graces of the saints that surround us. In thanksgiving and in love, we give you thanks for Cindy Vestal. For John Lawrence. For Mary Miller. For Lee Kidd. For Martha Eames. For Becky Long. Holy God, we praise you for the witness, faith, and love of these saints. Their shared lives with us has been a blessing, a hope, and an encouragement. By their example and in their honor, help us to live so that others might profit by our example. Give us grace to live faithfully in our time and place, to live the Christian life in such a way that others might see our lives and want to follow you because they see some of your light reflected in us. Give us the strength we need to serve you all our days, to be faithful in all matters, great and small, and to love you not only with our hearts, but with our whole selves, our hands and feet and mind, to risk ourselves in loving acts of service to you, and in so doing, celebrate these great lives, and most especially, your great love. We pray in the name of Jesus the Christ, who calls us even at the edge. Amen.
Ladies, sing first.
Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod with this crystal time forever falling by the throne of God?
We all sing.
Yes, we
sing it out.
Soon we'll reach the shining river.
Hey, Sarah, how's it going? You know, I've been thinking about the stewardship campaign, but I haven't turned in my pledge card yet.
Well, is there a problem?
My wife calls me the practicing procrastinator. Hi, honey.
Listen, Greystone has a lot of exciting plans for this upcoming church year. My dad is on the missions committee, and they have quite a few new ideas they want to try. They've already executed a successful truck crawl and bike rodeo, which has never been done here before. I've also heard reports from other groups in Sunday school that many of our members have a renewed passion to get out into the community and really make an impact. If we have the manpower to get out and try some of these different things, I really don't want money to be an issue.
Well, those are all good points, Sarah. It sounds like doing missions is not only a supported but a growing activity in our church. Missions may be the single most important effort that the church can engage in, and I don't want money to be an issue either, especially if our members are that excited about their involvement and their opportunity to share their gifts. So, should we be that concerned about building maintenance and other ongoing issues?
I've heard around the church that there will be a renewed focus this year on the stewardship of our church property. Details will be discussed in depth at our upcoming church and conference meeting. We also need to be prayerful and supportive of efforts to obtain a new pastor, all the while supporting our really great interim pastor, Randy Ashcraft, and of course, our normal church business needs. It would really be nice to show a visiting prospect that Greystone is not only alive, but vibrant and financially sound.
Yes, I see what you mean. I've been a member here for pert near 22 years. I'd like to promote the church and its programs as we build towards the future. Hey, there's that phrase again. And I wasn't even trying.
I'm a relatively new member of about 2 years, but I think the important thing to remember this year is to step up, but not step back. We've got too much momentum going now, and we really do need to build towards the future, even if the exact details of what we're going to do is not completely clear. We also need people to make a commitment to give and sustain that giving throughout the year.
You know, I rode a bicycle across North Carolina about 4 weeks ago, and at times it got pretty tough. I think the main reasons that I made it, besides all the encouragement I got, were that I committed to doing the ride, and then I tried to remain consistent throughout the journey. There's only one thing that really bothered me, that messed up my head, that really bruised my ego, and that was all those ponytails passing me.
Lou, that's a really great analogy for what we're trying to accomplish this year.
Okay, so next week is Pledge Sunday. I'll need to make some decisions by then. What if I lost my pledge card? Am I exempt?
No. No worries. If you forget your pledge card next week, rest assured we'll have the pledge cards inserted in the bulletin so that everyone will have the opportunity and the privilege to offer their financial gifts freely. After all, God loves a cheerful giver.
Great stuff, Sarah, and many thanks to the Stewardship Committee for their encouraging work.
Will you join me in prayer? Loving and gracious God, we humbly dedicate these tithes and offerings to your use. Like the saints who have gone before us, who have sacrificed their time, energy, and monies to make Greystone possible, we are comforted by the knowledge that you will multiply all of our gifts and commitments. We ask that they be transformed into genuine acts of concern and ministry to others. We recognize that only you can restore faith to the faithless, hope to the hopeless, and love to the loveless. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
invite you to remain standing for the reading of our gospel. This lesson is from Matthew chapter 5. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." May God add understanding to the reading of this lesson.
Thanks be to God.
I was telling the folks in the early service that this day has taken me a bit off guard. That is to say that I did not expect, amidst all of the details of worship and the planning for worship and all the things mechanically that need to be attended to on a day like today, I did not expect to be sort of blindsided by the meaning of this day. That is to say that when our attention is focused on the saints, on those who have gone on before us, as well as those whose presence are here today, these people, all of these people, the communion of the saints, as the scripture talks about, may be the most spiritually alive notion that I've had in a while. As the choir was singing this morning, the students as well as the adult choir, I was just overwhelmed at the thought of passing over the river and what it means to say that all of us are welcomed into the loving care of God. And that's just not at the end of this journey, but that's also every step of the way, even when those steps may be difficult, and often we may sense that God has even forgotten about us or abandoned us. But my thoughts today were rolling like a film in my mind of people who have spoken into my personal experience and who have been guarantors, if you please, and seen in me something that was more than what I was seeing in myself at any given time. People now, I would say and know, are placed by God. And thanks be to God that I was welcoming and open enough to receive the gifts that God was offering and giving to me. I think about teachers. I think about parents and aunts and uncles. I think about those people who were standing by when traumatic things happened in your life. I remember when I shattered my hip as a high school student and thought that the world had ended because I would no longer be able to pursue an athletic career, and there were youth ministers there and other adults there who were able to help me see that maybe there was more to life than what I had imagined. I think about those who not only encouraged me, but who also disciplined me along the way. And when I envision those faces, I am incredibly grateful this morning. And so I hope that on this day you too will begin to think about those people whom you may never have thought of as being saints, but as Amanda prayed this morning, being a saint is not about some kind of superhuman person, but rather human beings who actually hear and respond to the higher calling that is there for each of us, that is so well illustrated in the Beatitudes that were read this morning. And it is by our baptism that we are given our sainthood. Not necessarily by any means because we are perfect or because somehow we are superhuman, but we are saints by our baptism because God has pronounced us saints, and that we are literally a royal priesthood. And we are encouraged, as the writer of Hebrews says, by a whole host of balcony people who literally, whether they have gone on or even in the present, encourage us to take the next step, to get up, to move on. And in a sense, the whole of heaven stands on tiptoe and leans over the balcony, awaiting what it is that we will do with our lives on this day and moving forward. So I am so, so grateful. Greystone is a young church. This is the youngest church I have pastored in my many years of preaching. The oldest was 1802, but you are the youngest. And in that sense, your history is still being written, and the notion of how you will then live out the mission and the vision of this church and this community is yet to be determined. And because you are so young, it means that the whole world is spread out before you in a fashion that demands that each person leans into what the call is on this day for Greystone moving forward in the future. But if it moves forward in the future in a positive way and with ministries that are reaching people and making a difference in people's lives, it will accomplish those goals and that mission because you have band together and decided to go shoulder to shoulder in a unity not created because everybody agrees, but because you have chosen to respond to this calling, this high calling, and this belief that God has in each person. And so I'm just grateful on this day to be with you and to be part of the communion of the saints. Frank Langella, the brilliant stage actor and film actor, a few years ago did two plays back to back. The first was a depiction of Frost-Nixon conversations and met with rave reviews. And then he moved directly into another play entitled A Man for All Seasons. I'm sure you're familiar with this, depicting the life of Sir Thomas More, St. Thomas More, who was beheaded in 1535 because he refused to give blessing to the desire of King Henry VIII to divorce Catherine. And so because of his stand, and because he would not capitulate to political power, he met his death. The New York Times asked Langella, how did it feel moving from portraying a president to a saint? We don't typically think about presidents moving to sainthood, do we? He said, well, there are some profound things that I have learned after doing both plays. I learned that a saint, if we want to call more a saint, that this depiction, in my estimation, was given to him because he decided to take the high road instead of the low road. He decided to stand on his principles, that he had a higher calling. Maybe he had read the Beatitudes, and so he chose a different path. But he said Nixon, on the other hand, gave in to his baser instincts because of his greed, because of his self-centeredness, because he had a sense that he was more grand than he really was, he met his demise. So he said, it spoke to me, and so therefore, in my life, I've been looking for the ways that I can take the high road instead of the low road. He said, maybe that's why we have so few saints these days, because most people just will not make those hard choices. It's anachronistic, actually, to think that God would call each of us saints. Because most of us would not consider ourselves to be saints, nor would most of us think that we have achieved something that would cause someone to grant us with sainthood. But what is humbling this morning and hopefully motivating is that while we would not consider ourselves to be saints, God considers us to be saints and grants us this kind of opportunity as well as this kind of blessing. And with that comes both the responsibility and the privilege of living into that designation. And it happens because of our baptism, because we are the people of God. Because we do have a calling, and because it does make a difference as to how we choose to live, and for that matter, how we choose to die. In the old days, I used to hear that communion was reserved for those who were worthy. In fact, I remember my hometown preacher saying that if you have not confessed your sin, and if you are not worthy of coming to the communion table, don't come. And so I struggle with that. And from the time I can remember being a young adolescent to being an older teenager, there were lots of things about my life that were undone. But hey, guess what? There are a lot of things about my adult life that are undone as well. And so I've never felt worthy to take communion. So it was a great revelation to me when I discovered that communion is not about being worthy, but rather communion is about being willing to admit your unworthiness and to be able to throw your full agency towards the understanding that it is God who is worthy and it is Christ who grants us the opportunity to receive these gifts. And certainly those early disciples would have recognized this in all the ways in which they betrayed Jesus in the beginning. And so this morning, I invite you to come to this table. I invite you to come and claim your sainthood. I invite you to come and claim the worthiness that is yours that God grants to you. And I invite you to come in full recognition that those who are waiting, that those who are here in the present, and for all of those young Christians who come behind us, we have a grand opportunity to invest deeply, to invest deeply in the understanding of being the true sons and daughters of the living Christ. Thanks be to God for this gift. The scriptures teach us that on the night that the disciples gathered in the upper room, that Jesus took the common bread that was at the table and that he offered it to the disciples. He offered it to them with new meaning, with a new understanding of what it means to give life in order to gain life. And so Jesus took the bread at the table and he broke it, symbolic of the breaking of his body. And he offered the bread to them as life-giving, as body broken, as gift for the brokenness in each of us. And in doing so, gave us new names, sons and daughters of the living Christ. May we pray. God, we give you thanks this morning for this bread and for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has offered body broken to us. We pray that we would see this not as mechanics, but rather as something very unique, to gather together, to intone your name, to know that the very bread we break is broken in heaven, and to know that you do wait with great anticipation to see what we will become, saints of your own making. We thank you for this gift which sustains us on this journey. We pray that we would inhale it deeply and understand the depth of how it can change us. We give you thanks for this bread in Christ's name. Amen. Body of Christ, broken for you, take and eat. On that same night, Jesus took a cup and he poured the wine into the cup. Nothing unexpected. Until he said, "This is my blood poured out for the remission of sin," and everything changed. No one could have imagined what was coming. No one could have understood the horrors that were associated with this kind of outpouring of life. But more importantly, no one could have understood the depth of love and the way the world would change because this gift was offered. This is the cup of salvation to you with love. May we pray. God, we understand and know that beyond this, you cannot go. That your love is so far reaching, so forgiving, we still have no capacity to understand it. Forgive us when we doubt this. Help us to experience on this day and the days to come the grace associated with such a free gift. We pray that we would not take it for granted, nor our sainthood, and that we would understand on this day the value of the saints sitting among us. We ask now that we might take this cup as a symbol of the true and unblemished love you offer in Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
cup of salvation, gift of love. Take and drink. Would you stand, turn to the persons next to you, in front of you, behind you, and pass the peace of Christ to the saints. This morning, the invitation and the offering is a response to the gospel being preached. And the gospel story is that you are loved, that you are marked as a saint of the living God, and you are invited to experience that if you have never experienced it as a part of the family of God. So the door is open to you, the invitation to make your faith public, the invitation to come and be a part of Greystone, the invitation to respond to your next step in this Christian journey. Would you consider as we sing together?
Chaplain. For those of you who don't know me, that means I'm Deanna's sister. But I wanted to tell you guys about a really awesome opportunity you guys have tonight. The African Children's Choir is here. I live in Orlando, Florida, and I had a great chance to get to know the 44th African Children's Choir. I got to take them to Disney World, which was really awesome. And it's a pretty magical place, but they made it even more joyous. These kids, the joy and the hope and the gratefulness is just contagious. So it's going to be an awesome night tonight. Hope you'll come out at 6:30. It's for kids, adults, neighbors, friends. Invite everybody. And they also have really cool stuff. You can help the kids fund their education. They have shirts. And my sponsor child helped me pick out this little bracelet. I have a little girl that I sponsor, and Deanna and I like to write her letters, so we get to keep in touch with her a little bit. So you guys have the opportunity to do that as well tonight at 6:30. Hope to see you there.
So much. One of the churches that I pastored on Pledge Sunday had the lowest attendance of any time during the year. And so, true story. And so I'm going to drive down from Richmond next week, and I sure hope you're here too. And I hope that we can prove that church wrong, that it's a good day to show up and to be present and to lean into what it means to be present to all the ministries that are here at Greystone. Delighted to be with you in this. As you go, remember that the God who created you goes beneath you as a firm foundation upon which to build your life. That the God that we know and understand in Jesus Christ walks beside you as one who loves you and who accepts you for exactly who you are. And may we understand and know that the God that we experience through the Holy Spirit has promised to blow with fresh winds through the corridors of our lives and give to each of us deep and lasting peace. Amen.